Recently in my shul, we started a shiur focusing on the hakdamos to interesting svarim. And this past week, we were focusing on the hakdama to the Sefer Vayoel Moshe, the Satmar Rebbe Sefer, his manifesto against Zionism, his Sefer where he tries to explain why Zionism is the worst thing in the world. And in Yetzal Hashem, this coming week, we're going to be focusing on the Sefer Eim HaBarim Smecha, which takes the opposite point of view, which focuses on how Zionism is a very important thing and how we have to push to live in Eretz Yisrael and to take part in society in Eretz Yisrael. And what I found interesting about the Hakdamos and the difference between them, and the more importantly the similarities between them, is that they both claim to know exactly why the Holocaust happened. The Satmar Rebbe says it's obvious, he thinks it's a Beferish Gemara, that the Holocaust happened because of Zionism, that because there were Zionists, that caused HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be Matir Besarchem, to take our flesh and make it totally Hefker, so that people can come and feel very comfortable to kill Jews. Whereas the Eim HaBarim Smecha of Teichtel held that the reason, perhaps one of the reasons for the Holocaust, was that we didn't push enough for Eretz Yisrael. We didn't have that desire to return to Eretz Yisrael. We were too comfortable in Galus. And what emerges, obviously, from reading both Hakdamos, is that we don't really have answers. Generally speaking, when it comes to tragedies, we don't really have a good explanation of why something happens. We can't know for sure. Absent a Navi, absent some type of Ruach HaKodesh, it's impossible for us to know why things happen. However, every once in a while, Chazal will come along and will tell us that when a tragedy occurs, they tell us the reason that it occurs. They tell us what the Avera was, what the particular sin was that led to the tragedy happening. And in this week's Parsha, in Parshas Ekev, Moshe Rabbeinu reports, Uba'aron his anaf Hashem ma'odash mido, ve'espalel gam ba'ar Aron be'esahi, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was so angry at Aaron for the role he played in the Egel Azav that he was ready to destroy Aaron. And Rashi comments, what does it mean to destroy him? Zeh kiloi banim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was ready to kill all of Aaron's children. But then Moshe Rabbeinu says, Ve'espalel gam ba'ar Aaron. I daven for Aaron, Moshe Rabbeinu says. V'ho'ila tfilasi l'chaper mechtza. And at least I saved half of his kids. So two of his children died and two remained alive. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, you know why Aaron was punished? Do you know why this horrible tragedy of his children dying occurred? It's because of Aaron's role in the Egel HaZahav. That Aaron, because he participated and enabled the Egel HaZahav, that's why he lost children, and it could have been even worse. He could have lost all four of his children. But he got lucky that he only lost two, and two of them managed to stay alive. This is a very perplexing Maimar Chazal, a very perplexing Rashi. The Mizrahi points out, is that really the reason that Nadav and Avihu died? Doesn't the Gemara deal with why Nadav and Avihu died, and doesn't it give us a whole list of possible averos, including that they were mora halacha b'fnei rabbam, they came into the Mishkan shesuya yayin, having drunk wine, all sorts of possible averos that they may have done to deserve their death. Why does the Gemara not bring up this reason that they deserved death because of what Aaron did, that it wasn't their own sin, it was Aaron's misdeeds that caused them their unfortunate end? And furthermore, was Aaron's role in the Egel Azov really so negative? If you look in the Gemara's Masechah Sanhedrin, it seems to glorify Aaron a little bit. It seems to paint a very different picture of the attitude we should have toward Aaron's actions in the events leading up to the Egel. What does the Gemara in Sanhedrin say? Vayar Aaron vayiven mizbeach lefanav. Ma ra'a. What did Aaron see exactly? And the Gemara goes on. He saw that Chur had already been killed. Omar, and he said to himself, if I don't listen to them now, they're going to do to me what they did to Chur. So what's so terrible if they do to him what they did to Chur? He'll be Moser Nefesh al Kiddush Hashem. Jews throughout the millennia have always been willing to be Moser Nefesh for Kiddush Hashem. Aaron wasn't up to that. Aaron wasn't going to be willing to be Moser Nefesh for Kiddush Hashem. But Aaron was concerned. He says, Umekayim, not about himself. He wasn't concerned about himself. He says, Umekayim im Yarek b'mikdash Kohen v'Navi, v'lo havilu hu takanta b'tshuva. That if they kill a Kohen and Navi in one day, if they kill me, it's going to be such a horrible blemish on their record. It's going to be such a terrible sin. They're never going to be able to do tshuva. and Tosos comments that the Gemara is praising Aaron for his foresight and his dedication to the future of Klal Yisrael. He's taking a hit for Klal Yisrael. He's doing something against his better judgment to save Klal Yisrael, similar to Yonah HaNavi. Yonah had a nevuah that he was supposed to deliver, but he knew that delivering that nevuah and causing the city to do tshuva is going to reflect very poorly on Klal Yisrael. So he's taking one for the team. He's taking one for Klal Yisrael. Tosos, in a sense, glorifies what Aaron did. Aaron did this from a sense of Avas Yisrael. So how could it be that he lost his two sons for doing such, for doing this Avera, if in fact the Avera had a tremendous mitzvah associated with it? And from a slightly different perspective, the Medrash describes exactly what was going through Aaron's mind as he agreed to participate in making the Egel. Vayar Aaron, says the Medrash, Ma ra'a, what did he see? Aaron saw that if he were to give the if he were to let them go ahead and he were not to take charge of the project, and the Klal Yisrael were to build the Egel on their own, they would get it done in an instant. Everyone would volunteer, they would work together, and in a few minutes they'd have everything finished already, and they would start with the Avodah Zarah. Aaron figured, maybe if I take control of the project, mitoch sha'ani bona oso, ani mis'atzel b'malachto. Maybe if I can take control of the project, I could be a little lazier. I can make sure that it goes at a slower pace. I can make sure that it doesn't get done quite so quickly. And in that way, I can stall, give Moshe Rabbeinu time to get back here, and who knows, maybe we'll be able to avoid this whole problem of the Egel Azav. And the Medrash continues and describes a mashal of a prince who, in a moment that he wasn't thinking rationally, tells his Zevet, "Take a sword." He tells Zevet, "I want to take a sword and I want to cut my father." And the servant assigned to the prince says, "No, no, you don't do it. Let me take care of it for you." Now the king, witnessing what's going on, why is this Zevet volunteering to cut the king, to stab the king with the sword in place of his son? And the king realizes, no, the Eved is doing a great tova. The Eved realizes that the prince is very angry right now. And if the prince were to act on his emotion, he would go and stab the king right away. But the Eved figures, if I take control of it and I tell him that I'll take care of it, I can be a little slower to act. And by the time that it would ever come to stabbing the king, the prince will have already come to his senses and he will have already changed his mind. So when the king finds out about this, certainly the king is going to reward this Eved, because in fact the Eved has saved the king's life. So the Medrash says, so too with Aaron. Aaron said, if I take control of the project, instead of just letting Klal Yisrael go and rebel against the Ribbono Shel Olam like this, I can slow down the process. And when I slow down the process, it will enable the Jewish people to come to their senses. It will enable Moshe Rabbeinu to come down, and maybe we can avoid the whole problem. And that's why the Medrash says, "Bischar zeh zoch l'kuhuna l'gedola l'kol matnos kuhuna." Aaron was zocha to the kuhuna gedola, and to all the matnos kuhuna, all the gifts we give to a kohen, was because of this great mitzvah that Aaron did by participating in the Egel Hazav and by taking control, taking the reins of the project to build the Egel Hazav. So again, it's very perplexing. The question begs itself. How are we to view Aaron's actions? Are they worthy of the highest praise and the Matnos Kuhuna and the Kuhuna Gedola? Or are they worthy of the worst punishment, of his children dying? Which is it? The Be'er Yosef, Rav Yosef Salant, answers all of these questions with the following yisod. Very often in life, when we analyze our own options, or the actions of other people, or even any given situation, we're limited in our view. We tend to oversimplify things. People like to label something as good or bad. Everything has to be black and white. And we tend to ignore that in order to accomplish many good deeds, less than the most noble means are sometimes employed. Generally, people are not wired to see the silver lining in the great cloud, or to see the tarnish creeping up on the shiny silver. We have difficulty understanding how a single action can be rewarded and at the same time be punished. God, however, enjoys a much more detailed perspective. Nothing escapes his attention. When it comes to determining that somebody is worthy of the death penalty, a human court can only judge him for his actions. They're incapable of determining whether it's unfair for the mother of this person who's standing trial to lose a child, or whether the effect of such a decision might have on countless other people in his life, his children, his wife, his friends, his family. Only God can make that determination, and only God will be careful to carry out a sentence when it reflects true justice from every angle. When determining whether Aaron's sons should die, it was not only necessary for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to look at their potential sins, at what they had done, Shesuya Yayin, Mara Halacha Bifnei Rabbam, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't kill Aaron's children unless Aaron had done something to deserve his own children to die, because Aaron was going to be touched most by the loss, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't do something to Aaron that he does not deserve. Otherwise, we would say less din v'less dayan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just carrying things out and ignoring the consequences, the repercussions. Chas v'shalom. Aaron had to deserve it as much as they did. Similarly, when it came to how to address Aaron's role in Chedah Egel, when subject to human analysis, we're likely to take a very one-sided view of the issue. In reality, though, he deserved both reward and punishment. The Ribbono Shel Olam was able to see that his intentions were noble. He wanted the Jews to have the ability to have a future, to live another day. He wanted to keep a close eye on all of the proceedings so that he can exert a certain degree of control. Maybe he can dissuade them from allowing it to get out of hand. And for this element of his actions, Aaron received the Matnos Kohuna and the Kohuna Gedola. That was gewaldic. He was rewarded for that. Yet at the same time, his actions directly led to hundreds of thousands of Jews worshipping an Egel. And the Egel was referred to as what? Egel Asher Asa Aharon. For that, Aaron lost his two sons. And were it not for the prayers of Moshe, he would have lost all four of them. So yes, it was a single action. There was some positive and there was some negative. The Kavanos, certainly positive. The fact that hundreds of thousands of Jews were worshipping an Egel, obviously very negative. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewards the positive while at the same time punishes for the negative. And based on this idea, Rav Yosef Salant explains a seeming contradiction in the story of Lot sleeping with his daughters after the destruction of Sodom. The Gemara in Baba Kama Daf Lamed Chesam Beis tells us that the older daughter was the one who initiated the sexual contact with her father, and because she was the one to run to do it first, she was zocha to have Jewish descendants four generations earlier than her younger sister, who only followed along with what the older daughter was doing. On the other hand, so it sounds like it was a great thing. Because she initiated, she was rewarded. On the other hand, though, the Medrash tells us that the older daughter's actions are described in very vulgar terms in the Torah. Vatishkav es aviha. Whereas the younger daughter's actions are described as vatishkav imo, with the Torah very slyly leaving out from failing to explicitly state exactly who it was that she slept with. And the question again is obvious. It seems from this medrash that the older daughter did something vulgar, that she did something terrible. And the Torah is mevaze her for it. Vatishka v'savia. Whereas the younger daughter was only a follower, wasn't quite as bad. Well, which is it? Was it a great thing that she went and she took the initiative, and that's why she was zocha to generations of Jews earlier? Or was it a terrible thing that she went and she slept with her father? So Yosef Salant explains that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's approach to the older daughter was more detailed and sophisticated than to issue pure condemnation or pure congratulations. She committed this avera because she sincerely believed that it was her responsibility to populate the world, which in fact is the purpose of creation, Lasheves Yitzara, and for that she was rewarded. But at the same time, this act had a profound effect on the way the world viewed Znus. After the Mabul, the world had learned its lesson about Arayos, a very hard lesson after the Mabul. People were being much more careful. They didn't want another Mabul. With this publicized act of immorality, though, the floodgates were reopened. Suddenly it was like Amalek jumping in to attack us, where it became okay to fight against Jews again. The older daughter goes and sleeps with her father, and Arayos of all sorts are okay again. People began to see Arayos as more natural. For having such an effect on humanity, the older daughter of Lot is mentioned in Chumash as having committed a terrible sin, in very crass and vulgar language. I think the message for us is obvious. Very often we're enticed to take a simplistic stance on issues, whether it involves an evaluation of the political climate, You know, Newsweek just ran a cover story on what President Bush got right. And the opening line was, if you think that the next president can solve all the problems by just reversing every policy of the Bush administration, you're wrong, because he's done a few things correctly as well. And whether you agree with the premise of the story or not, but the point is the same. The point is a good one, and that is that people, whether it be the media, whether it be people in general, like to paint things black and white. Either something's perfect or it's awful. It's great or it's terrible. But part of a halachta bedrachav, part of imitating the ways of God, to the best of our abilities at least, is to allow our views to be more nuanced and more complex sometimes. We have to try to see all sides of an issue and appreciate that sometimes there's some positive elements as well as some negative elements, and to take the positive elements and appreciate them while rejecting the more negative elements. And it is true in our personal lives as well. In our Avodas Hashem, a person feels good about himself because what? He does a mitzvah, right? He goes to minyan, he goes to shul, and he feels very good about himself. And he has the right to be proud of it. But does that mean it's all good? Does that mean that when he goes and he talks in davening, or he doesn't have enough kavana in davening, that that's okay? No, he has to be able to see that while he's doing something that's basically good, there's some tarnish creeping up on the silver. And he has to polish that off as well. A person sometimes does an avera, but sometimes the avera that the person does comes from a really noble intention. So of course he has to correct the avera, but he shouldn't correct the noble intention along with the avera. He should keep the noble intention and learn how to channel it towards something positive. This, I think, is the message of this week's of this Rashi in Chumash, that yes, Aaron was punished for his role in the Chet HaEgel, but he was also rewarded for his role in the Chet HaEgel, because the same action has some positive elements and some negative elements, and what HaKadosh Baruch Hu demands of us, just as he demands of himself, is to be able to have this more nuanced view, to be able to appreciate both positive and negative in the same exact action.